Good. That's one less loose end.
No!
Area is sanitized. All targets destroyed. Solid copy. No movement detected. 2-6 going into holding pattern.
On south, hold the left flank! Do not trust Shepard! I say again, do not trust Shepard! South, get down!
I'm Frank Vaughn. It's March 13th, 2026. Memes can be powerful. Illustrations can be powerful. And I got to tell you, for the last 13 days, walking back here to the studio has felt like going to a funeral, because not only do I get the Mickey taken out of me by the audience and I have to watch my numbers in decline, I have to live with the knowledge that the things I'm trying to communicate are true. But before I get into the day's developments, which should be concerning to everybody, as concerning as the buildup before the bombing campaign began, I just want to say, I still live under a king. I still have a king. I'm still a Canadian with a king. Canada still has a king. Carney is the king's man. Carney doesn't wear a Canadian flag on his lapel pin for a reason. I'm reading a tweet I made last night. He just spent another session with the king after he met with Indigenous leaders who desperately want us all to stay in the prison known as Canada. Nothing has changed. If I were American tomorrow morning, if I had an American flag behind me, I would still be saying the exact same things. America first and MAGA. Because when the United States sneezes, the saying is the world gets a cold. The United States is like a magnet. Where it draws, Canada tends to follow. And I really like the idea of the Donroe Doctrine. I really like the idea of voluntarily scaling down the overseas empire so that we could all survive. That's really what it was all about. Survive, prosper, maybe with the United States focused on the hemisphere and not deploying its military might where it's largely ineffective and is wasted and is creating a much weakened position for America in the world in spite of all of the various intelligence operations and their YouTube and social media outreach programs, which are trying to tell you, but just steering you off the scent, looking at you, Promethean, covering for what this is by sprinkling truth over the lie. It frustrates me. It frustrates me to know that I have the right temperature of this whole thing. I am going to try and keep this thing short today because there's just a few things I want to communicate about developments in the Middle East. But first, Canada, where I am still subject to a king. It still sucks. The system still sucks. The feathers are out again, as you can see. I call them the feathers of convenience, which is the attempt to keep us tied down and to suppress and dispel any idea of carving out a separate country for Western Canada, as Western Canada has been exploited. We have our wealth and our treasure stolen from us by Ottawa. And then they impose upon us their draconian measures and have no qualms. Look, I spelled out a scenario in many videos over the last several months where Carney could be coordinating with Donald Trump. You know, I think he's been playing both sides of the fence. And now that Trump has walked headlong into this quagmire in the Middle East, I'm pretty sure we know where Carney's going to come down, what side of the fence he's going to come down. He's going to leave America to its own mistakes, and he's going to continue drilling Canada into the ground, because I've noted on an X post recently how I respect Mark Carney for his power over the Canadian mind. Respect is not like, it's not love, but the big red machine clearly has hypnotized 45% of the population, and I don't know if there's anything we can do about it. Because there's so many things fighting against us, and the help that we might have got via the influence of America First and MAGA is disappearing before our eyes, going up in smoke in the Middle East. Silence from Ottawa, shameful after report of Canadian camp hit by missile, conservative MP. Quoting said conservative MP, this is a failure of the government of not wanting to communicate, not being transparent, not sharing with Canadians exactly how Canada is being impacted by this war. Oh, we're going to be impacted. The entire world is going to be impacted. I don't think people understand what total control of the Strait of Hormuz and what we're up against. And I'm going to try and illustrate that today as the United States tries to assemble an armada to do something about it. which is going to be another disaster for the United States, as far as I'm concerned. Hope I'm wrong. Really hope I'm wrong, folks. Hope you're able to just dance all over the corpse of my credibility. I hope that's what's going to happen, because there's enough of you. The people who are trying to take the mickey out of me now certainly have no problem dancing on the corpse of thousands of civilians that have been killed so far. It's like they're proud of it. It's disgusting to me. People who have Christianity in their bio don't know the first thing about it. You have to know by now, and if you don't, you'll know soon enough. Eventually, I want people who are skeptical. I want the people who click dislike. There's not a lot of you. You know, there's only like a dozen, two dozen, three dozen of you per video. Most of you get it, and I understand that, but I'm trying to talk to the people who still don't get it. Ask yourself, at what point, what piece of evidence can you see that will invalidate your thesis? At what point do you arrive at the conclusion that things have gone sideways in the United States and that the Trump administration has completely betrayed its promise to keep America out of a great big forever regime war? I mean, I don't know how you haven't figured it out already. We're 2 weeks in to an operation that was only supposed to take 2 days, and there's nothing they can do to open the Strait of Hormuz yet. I think they're going to try on screen. Pentagon is moving additional Marines, warships to the Middle East. They're bringing in their power from around the world. They're moving an expeditionary force of 5,000 Marines, which ain't going to be enough. It's not going to be enough by a long shot. Expeditionary force, 5,000 Marines. They're bringing anti-missile batteries from around the world, weakening their position vis-a-vis the Pacific at the same time as China might be looking to assert itself, because the Chinese public is really hoping America. That's another thing. I was reading an article this morning. I'm not even going to bother with it. I have more credibility just talking out my backside without showing anybody anything than the Trump and Israeli administrations have right now. They're lying to us about just about everything. They're lying about the damage that's been sustained. Yeah, I was reading an article yesterday that in the opening salvo of the war, when the Kuwaiti base was hit, where those soldiers or military personnel were killed initially, there was well over 100 injuries at that point. And I was reporting on the fact that it might be that way because there was the blood drives and they shut down maternity care at the largest U.S. military hospital in Europe, that it seemed to hint at a larger problem. If that was the first day, where do you think we're at now? They're not telling us. So they are trying to assemble an armada. They're talking to NATO. They're talking to France. They're talking to the British. They're talking to everybody that can possibly get involved to assemble this armada. Their aircraft carriers are en route. There's rumors at this point, that a fourth aircraft carrier, in addition to the Bush, is moving to the region, assembling this great big armada with the intent to sail into the Strait of Hormuz. And if we just go to Google Earth for a second, I just want to remind everybody what we're dealing with here. These are all mountains. You can see my cursor. That's good. These are all mountains. These are the approaches. Let's get our ruler out here. Iranian missiles have anywhere from several hundred to thousands of kilometers of range. I've got that spot right about where their border is with Pakistan. You have to sail. Hang on a second. Get rid of all this. You have to sail to get to these islands, which is what everybody's talking about. It's so weird. You have to sail 500, 600 kilometers fully exposed to missile fire from these mountains. And you can put as many airplanes in the air as you want. It's not good, man. This is, and by the way, this remains, this little dot up here, this is Karg Island. So all the media that you're hearing about seizing Karg Island or bombing it or doing whatever, trying to take control of it, you have to get through here. It is a disaster. A negotiated settlement, in my mind, is the only way out of this thing. But anyway, let's move on. We're going to end there. This plane was shot down, a refueling plane. I think it was shot down. Of course, CENTCOM is saying it wasn't shot down, it was an accident. But, as Al Jazeera is reporting, and remember what I said about Al Jazeera. You might think, oh, they're pro-Iranian. They're literally under fire from Iran right now. They have an anti-Israeli bias, but they're at war, practically, for all intents and purposes, with Iran right now. Putting them in a spot where their coverage is pretty balanced at the moment. And things change with coverage, folks. Nothing remains the same. The only constant in life is change. If you can't adapt, you don't survive. Anyway, images show damaged U.S. refueling plant at Tel Aviv Airport. Images circulating online appear to show a damaged Boeing KC-135 at Ben Gurion Airport. I think they took fire. And there is an Iraqi group that is aligned with Iran that is claiming credit for shooting this plane down. Why would I believe CENTCOM at this point? Why would I believe the U.S. administration? Trump is talking out of both sides of his mouth about everything. He's saying the war is over. We won so big. Meanwhile, they're assembling an armada. Meanwhile, they're scrambling. All of their actions say they haven't won. And the reality on the ground is every single day, Iran is firing more and more ballistic salvos and drones and everything else. And the claims coming out of the Gulf states and the claims coming out of the U.S. war effort is that every single one of them is getting shot down. But the evidence that we get suggests that's all a lie. They're scoring hits. Why we're still believing these people when their credibility's in a shambles, I have no idea. Poor Zelensky saying nothing good for Ukraine comes from the Iranian war. Beirut, let's just talk about Lebanon for a few seconds here. I'm gonna say something. So first off, we have to look at Gaza if we want to know what the future of Lebanon is, because all of these, like, Google has not updated this imagery. No one wants to post updated imagery because you would see that every single thing's been leveled. And the Israeli government, not me, the Israeli government is talking about the fact that they're going to build what they call a city over the corpse of Rafah, because Rafah's been leveled too. They're going to build a city and they're going to force all the Palestinians to live in that city. I don't use the word genocide to describe what's happening here. I try to be accurate. When you take a people and you uproot them, and then you move them forcibly to somewhere else, that's what we call ethnic cleansing. That's where we're at in Gaza. Lebanon, as far as I'm concerned, is about to go through the exact same process, and I'll show you. Just going with Israeli orders right now, this right here, if you can see this kind of valley that curves up here, this is the Litani River. So the first series of orders that Israel put out is that everybody south of this river has to just get out. They just got to get out. Look at this. Look at all these houses. Look at all these homes. Look at all these people. They're calling this humanitarian. They're calling it, like, the people who support this nonsense are just, they're calling it a humanitarian action to give them a few days to pick up everything that they have, every single one of these little homes, and just walk north with no plans. Whether you got 10 kids, you're pregnant, you're old, doesn't matter. Just get up and go. And if you can't go, you're going to get killed. What kind of a humanitarian plan is that? It's anti-human. And moreover, from what I understand, they're looking to expand the order from between the Litani all the way up to, I can't recall, this valley right here. I don't recall what the tactical or terrain term of it is. But all the way up north of Sidon, they're Sidon or Sidon. Sorry, I'm a little bit frauds here. The stuff that I'm talking about actually affects me. This isn't some kind of game for me. It's like, there's real human lives here. There's real families. There's real children. There's real inhumanity. Civilians are being killed by the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds by U.S. and Israeli bombs, and we're supposed to believe that those corpses are just acceptable collateral damage. I can't do that because I'm not satanic. I can't do that. Ordering all these people to just walk north, and now they got the same thing for Beirut. They're talking about everybody in southern Beirut has to go, and they're in there bombing the residential areas. Where are these people supposed to go? Just north? I have a prediction. Hope I'm wrong. I don't think Israel ever lets these people back. They're just going to keep the land, and they're going to do the whole victim thing because these people, they're trying to kill us. As Israel expands, as Israel is bombing and annihilating everybody, we're supposed to believe that this is defensive action. It's bad news, folks. It's really bad news, and Trump is walking right into it. He either doesn't know what he's talking about, or he's like, this is the worst time to have a salesman at the head of the United States. And that's all Trump is. He's a salesman and he's trying to sell this thing. And he doesn't have It's so clear that the United States does not have a good and solid strategic plan because they're ad hocing this whole thing together. They're scrambling. If they knew what they were doing, they would have moved these. If the war was so easy, as Trump says, if it was already won, if they had a good plan, they wouldn't be scrambling resources from around the world to the region. That tells you the truth. And so there's an unsubstantiated rumor, but given the fact that we're being gaslit about the whole thing, Ambassador Jalali, Iran sent a message to the United States damaging the aircraft carrier Abe Lincoln. It's gone dark. We know that it was in the Arabian Sea and it moved out. Did they actually do damage to a carrier? We wouldn't know, folks, if they did. If they hit it with a ballistic, we would not know because we're not being told anything. We're not allowed to know right now. And as an example of something honest, this is Bessent, and this is so weird. Why is Bessent giving statements to the media about the Iran war? U.S. Navy will escort oil tankers through the Strait of Hormuz when it's militarily possible, which means right now, it is militarily impossible to open the strait. I agree with that, but why is Bessent delivering that news? Why is Trump in his press conferences talking about how Kushner and his buddy Witkoff and Bessent and Marco Rubio, and then he threw Hegseth in as an extra, are giving him his advice about starting this battle? Why isn't it the CIA? Why isn't it the Department of National Intelligence under Tulsi Gabbard? Why is she so quiet? And we know those answers now. Because they all knew that this would be a nightmare and a disaster, that it would essentially torpedo America First, MAGA, and the prospects of the Republican Party coming into November. And I can't believe after 2 weeks, there's still people that are going to be in my comment section saying I'm wrong. I don't know. Where do you wake up? What do you need to see that invalidates your thesis? Western leaders pivot to blaming Putin's hidden hand. Is Iran war not going to plan? As Donald Trump, somewhere in all these updates, somewhere in here, you know, I've been reading it all morning as I've been growing frustrated thinking about putting together this video. I almost didn't even bother today. This is another one on Twitter. This is Ali Larijani from Iran. Mr. Hegseth, our leaders have been and still are among the people, but your leaders are on Epstein's Island. This is the Secretary of War's DOW, Department of War Rapid Response Twitter channel, getting ratioed all to hell by the Iranians. Because the world is turning against the Americans in real time and turning against the Israelis in real time. The longer this goes on, the more damage they do to their allies, South Korea, Japan. The people who are going to suffer from this are all going to remember who started this thing. Completely unnecessary. Iran attacked nobody. Nobody. You can talk about proxies all you want, but if you're only talking about one side's proxies and you're not talking about our own proxies, you're not telling the truth. You're not telling the full truth. But anyway, somewhere in these updates, Trump admits that Russia might be helping Iran just a tiny little bit. So Russia's helping, as we know, the people that the United States are at war with, the people who are likely shooting down American planes, the people who are causing American casualties, the people who are ripping up American bases all over the Middle East. And the cloak of silence doesn't prevent that. Like, eventually we're going to find out. I'm going to be vindicated officially. I know it's going to happen. Russians are helping these people. And the Americans are on the phone with them, lifting sanctions for them and empowering the war effort of the people that we're supposed to be opposing. If that doesn't tell you how desperate the situation is for the United States, I don't know what will. I am beyond frustrated with the entire picture. I think it needs to end now. They need to extricate themselves now. They probably need to give in to Iranian demands. And I know I'm going to get the Mickey taken out of me for saying that, but I'm a realist. I'm just a realist. I go after what is. Things are not going well, but I think there's so much pride, so much ego, so much hubris involved that I'm losing faith that the freight train is going to be able to get slowed down. I think the escalation chain just keeps on escalating. I don't think it's good for the world. I don't think it's good for anybody. You know, there's a famine coming. Because of the disruption of fertilizer shipments. Like, what happens if Iran is letting through certain ships through the Strait of Hormuz, this ad hoc arrangement where Iran approves tankers is going to slow the approvals. It's going to slow who can get through. But what if the United States, as its allies and as its position declines, what if they do something that actually closes the strait even more? If they step up the escalatory ladder and Iran responds, it could be with the loss. Global, like fertilizer right now is up 77% as we head into the spring. Urea in many places in the world. There's people complaining about it everywhere. It's only at the beginning. This isn't just about oil. This is about so much more. Can you imagine a global famine? Most of us have never been alive through one. Certainly Westerners have never experienced anything like it. Europe last starved at the end of the Second World War. We don't understand. We don't even read books anymore to understand how the wheel of history grinds humans into the dust. How the hubris of political leaders, if we read books, not just read them, spent time reading and studying and putting yourself mentally in the shoes of the people who lived those times and what that must have felt like. You know, many a time in my life, I've had conversations with people that are in their 80s and 90s and spent hours just listening to them tell me stories and visualizing. As everybody else, you go to a gathering of 30, 40 people who are all eating, and the old people are just left off by themselves, completely ignored and neglected, other than, hey, do you want a snack or would you like a tea? They have all these things to say. Shared experiences of watching their neighbors get shot because they dared hide food for their families or for their family. And then, you know, the Nazis came along. I'm thinking of a specific story out of Holland where the Nazis came along, discovered they had stored food, and they just shot the head of the household. These individual stories, none of us alive understand what it's like to live through that. We don't even try to understand the implications of history and how the wheel of history is still grinding forward. At any rate, nothing changes about the fact that my hope lied with, and I'm using the past tense, I didn't even intend to, it just came out, lied with the idea of Fortress North America and prosperity for all. It's fading into the rear view as this war's fires blind us all to the light of something that could have been new and good and precious, respecting the multipolarity of the world. Instead, the entire world's turning against us. You know, the Italians came out, Meloni, she came out and she questioned the U.S. attack on Iran. The Spanish, I think I covered yesterday, pulled their ambassador out of Israel. These are just the first cracks. This, I can't understate how big this is historically. And how much damage it's going to do. And hour by hour, day by day, it's going to become clear, regardless of whether you like it or not, or whether you're resistant to seeing it or not. I was here, and I warned you. And I'll still be here if somehow, by a miracle of the Father, I am wrong, and we can keep this thing called civilization on the rails, and we don't just blow the whole thing up. I'll be happy to admit I was wrong, but I'm not. The actions speak louder than words. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one.